Welcome to Configure It Done, the podcast where SAP leaders share real insights, proven strategies, and stories from front lines of major SAP transformations. Get inspired, get informed, let's get it done.
All right, welcome back to the Configure It Done podcast.
Hello.
We've got a special edition, and this is all about the Australian SAP Talent Survey, which we've got here. We're going to go through it, and all our client meetings for the next quarter, we're going to be bringing these down, and we can leave you a copy and talk you through
some
insights.
One of them is a golden ticket on the back, gets you free drinks at the next Precision event, so it's in your best interest to meet with us.
And while we're talking about the event, Sara, we've got two events coming up.
We do. Plug away. So we have two events coming up. One is in October 30th, and we will be going through these insights and more. So in these insights, the talent survey, we send it out every year. It goes through all the objective data that we as recruitment, you know, people speak to hundreds of people a week, literally. This also goes out to our CRM coded database of 6,000 plus SAP professionals. So on October 30th, we will be hosting an intimate event. This is relevant for you if you are a hiring manager, if you are keen to just know any trends, challenges, or insights in the market.
Talent acquisition.
Yeah, like think about that real grassroots, right? I need to bring people into my company. What is hot right now? What's the market looking for? What are some challenges I might come across?
So it's not just like your average salary survey. This is all about how talent in our market thinks and how they feel. So it was going to help you retain staff and then help you attract staff.
Basically, think of it as an interactive evening of this podcast that you're about to listen to. And then on November 20th, we have our big ticket item for the quarter. This one is big. I think every time we have done an event, the overwhelming feedback is, I don't want to hear from partners anymore. I don't want to hear the sell. I don't want to know what you've given to me. I've already heard this in my own boardroom. I want to hear from clients who have done this. And we have successfully got two CIOs speaking to us about their S/4HANA journeys. Very different journeys. Mm-hmm. One, a six-month implementation, greenfield S/4HANA. Very rare words, all strung together, successful even more so. And then one, a four-year retail transformation, the largest in the Southern Hemisphere. So that is a highly sought-after event. We are really going to be targeting CIOs to come into this room. These are your strategy deciders and makers. That is who you want to be listening to the insights of these people.
Also program managers, program directors. Yeah. Basically anyone that's been through an S4 implementation,
About to, or
embarking on an S4 implementation. So that event is for you. So a lot coming up.
There is a lot coming up, but on
to
this.
Yeah, back to the talent survey. Let's just dive straight into it. Obviously, we've got each stat, and we send this out to 4,500 people in the Australian talent community, and we've got a good response rate this year. So what we go through is gender splits, employment types. We go to where SAP talent's engaged, when SAP talent's retiring.
Big
question
right now.
We've got an aging talent pool.
Big question.
Years of experience, office days as well. That's a big one that kept coming up, and then certifications. But so let's go just straight to the top on number one, gender split. It says here it was 75% male and 25% female, but tell us the insights about that.
That sounds dire, but actually it's an improvement, wouldn't you know? It used to be 1 in 5. So it used to be like 1 out of 5 were women.
80-20, yeah.
80-20. We've seen a slight split, and that is great to see. Now, there are a couple of reasons as to why. Obviously, it's just been on everyone's mind for as long as I have been in recruitment. There has always been discussions, particularly at senior levels, to have more women and diversity of thought, which is important to note, not just women, also diversity of thought represented in everyone's teams. Mm-hmm. I think we're starting to see that split. We all know this isn't a problem that's going to be fixed overnight. So I think we're now actually starting to see these little 1%ers here and there will make a difference in 10 years' time, 20 years' time. So I think this is now that positive reinforcement that starts to come just from many, many years of having it in the forefront of your hiring mind, basically, which has been great.
But it's been a lot more emphasis on grad programs as well, which has also brought through more women. But it's definitely coming from the top.
Yeah.
having those conversations about getting more women into leadership.
Even uplifting like existing employees within your team. Like maybe they weren't in IT, maybe they were from finance or HR or anything like that. They were a super user. We are starting to see a little bit more of that uplift. I wouldn't say it's across every stream. There definitely seem to be some streams that stand out, like HR and finance, but it's gratifying to see nonetheless, because this is the first time in my experience in recruiting in SAP where we have actually seen an increase in this number.
That's good.
Which is exciting.
Okay. I'm going to talk a little bit about employment type. Now, historically, the SAP market has been heavily contract dominated, as much as 65% contract and then 35% permanent. Now, this year, when we've done the survey, it's actually a split. Which is 43% contract, 43% perm, and then the rest fixed term. So this was a really interesting insight. It's the first time in, we've been doing this about 7 or 8 years now, and it's the first time where there's the same amount of contract as there is permanent. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. Economically, we've just gone through a downturn, and when we go through a downturn, talent looks for stability. Mm. So there was a lot more permanent vacancies. SAP's partners were building their capability, and obviously the preference is permanent to build their capability to for the onset of projects that are going to come. And then also there's been a real lack of projects at S4 transformations in the market in the last couple of years. So when there's less projects, obviously there's more permanent vacancies, less contract. Mm. So all those reasons has obviously made sure there's a 50-50 split. Now, moving forward, we do see that being more contract dominated moving forward, because simply being there's going to be more work and more projects that are starting. So, we do see that is going to change in the coming years. So, very, very interesting insight there. But moving on, certifications. This is an interesting one. So we've got here, Sarah, that nearly half are already certified. Half of the community is certified, but 48% feel that it's not relevant to them. So can you tell us a bit more about SAP certifications?
So certifications, I think, come up particularly when you have a lot of candidates on the market and they want to stand out. They want to differentiate themselves from the pack. All very valid reasons as to why you want to look for things like that that can stand you out. I think certifications are very polarizing in that regard. And it depends, honestly, on what you're certified in, I think is the answer. Overall, if you look at like SAP as a whole, I think that 98 of SAP Australia's employees, 98% are certified in some form of SAP, whatever it may be. Might be like, you know, whatever, S/4HANA, cloud technologies, BTP.
They're really practicing what they're preaching.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know obviously certifications is a big thing and it is viewed as a money making exercise.
Yes.
But like Sarah said, SAP Australia are actually practicing what they're preaching, and nearly 100% of their workforce are certified.
And I think that now more than ever, you know, people talk about upskilling, they talk about new emerging technologies. What can I do to stay ahead? Certifications are 100% part of that equation. If you are keen to show that you have an interest in moving forward with new technologies and understanding what is coming up in the market and how do I present myself as someone who cares about that, certifications are 100%. One way to do that. Is it the deciding factor that will help you get a job? My vote is no.
Mm-hmm.
But it will not harm your chances either.
Yeah. I think that will change in the future.
Mm.
I think I think certifications are going to be more relevant, and like 100%. I said, SAP are definitely pushing that as well.
Yeah, 100%. And we move on now. A very nice stat that I was happy to see, actually. Outlook on S/4HANA, 84% of the market feels positive about SAP right now.
Yeah, this is a good one, because I met SAP a couple of months ago, and they were talking about Christian Klein's strategy, and they are fully on board. All the leadership team within SAP are fully on board with the direction that they're going. And the other thing, and it's clear, it's concise, and that they're going in this direction. So that breeds positivity. And the other thing as well, and look, they have made mistakes. Any company will make mistakes. But the thing that's breeding this positivity is SAP are failing fast. It's not working. They will fail fast. So, and that's been reflective in the market. Like I said, 84% of talent are positive about S4 moving forward. So, yeah, it's a pretty good stat.
Yeah. And I think that in this particular market, there can be not a lot of negativity, but I think there's a lot of world-weary people out there right now. That's not just an SAP. I think we're finding that across the board, whether you're in finance, whether you are a cleaner or a teacher, there's a lot of just negativity that can bring you down on an average day. So I think that there's a lot of frustration that can come from the particularly the SAP market, wherein people are saying, oh, but 2027 is like not far away. When is it coming? It has to come soon. And like, we're getting closer to that point. I think that Australia as always is a market that is, can be a bit blasé, can be a bit stubborn. We'll kick that can down the road if
behind,
we can.
Yeah.
Bit behind. We're slow to move and slow to trust at times of new emerging technologies in the market. S4HANA, I still classify almost as an emerging technology, given how few clients have made that jump. But the jump is coming. Is it going to look the same as R3 to ECC6? Probably not. So don't prepare yourself for that wild boom of what we saw. The nature of SAP projects have changed. But ultimately, what we can share is we feel positive, which is very exciting.
So let's talk about office days. Now, I've been in a few job specs with customers recently, and what's creeping in is any new starter's got to be full-time on-site.
Yeah.
You know, the business are back in the office. C-level are pushing, you know, back to the office. And reality is the city is busier now. It's good. But we asked the question of SAP talent that are in vacancies right now of how many days they're in the office. And 50% of talent is in 2 to 3 days a week. So the message we want to send to talent teams or hiring managers that are going to the market is, if you are enforcing 5 days a week, you are shutting yourself off from half the market. Now, it's not to say you can't secure a resource. Absolutely. Go for gold. Like if you go to market looking for full-time in the office, that's absolutely fine. But just rest assured that, like I said, you're shutting yourself off from half the market. So if you are struggling, if you can't find people that would commit to full-time in the office, then if you're flexible and adaptable, then you have a better chance of securing talent.
I mean, we talk about it all the time, wherein what you want to avoid is a blanket rule.
Yeah.
Like, blanket rules just don't breed positivity or trust in a team, whether that team's BAU or project. So I can count on, well, I don't have enough fingers, actually. Any person that I've spoken to that is full-time 5 days a week will discreetly give me a call in 3 months' time saying, just if anything else opened up, I might be interested in hearing about it. If they gave a bit of flexibility here, if they gave a bit of flexibility there, we can cut that whole conversation short if that flexibility was given by the manager right from the beginning where that person is right now. So just something to keep in mind. It's not even necessarily that you might be cutting yourself off from the market when you are hiring. Even when you do hire, are you leaving a bit of a ticking time bomb there? Something to be aware of.
So that leads us nicely onto what SAP talent are looking for in a new role. We do have flexibility in there, but the one that's came out on top is remuneration.
No surprise.
If you rewind a couple of years, it was actually new technologies. Mm. Obviously, new technologies are merging, especially with S4. So people were very flexible with their pay to get that experience. Now we've had a few more programs, and I think we've gone through that downturn. Remuneration is number one. But yeah, did you want to speak to more about that?
I mean, I don't think that will shock anyone. We'll go into it a little bit as to like years of experience, which I think ties in quite a bit as to why this driver is what it is. Because the average SAP professional in Australia most likely has kids, has a mortgage, like they have bills to pay. This is not a youth conversation that we're now having, wherein oh, I just want to learn new stuff that I can take throughout my career and I'll be flexible with whatever my hiring manager is looking for. No, I've been doing this for a while. I know what I need and I need a steady wicket, which is why people were looking for long-term permanent options.
Mm-hmm.
And I need it to pay reasonably well. I think that there can be a misconception when we say something like the SAP market looks for money as the main thing. It's not loads of money. It's just a fair wicket. Like,
yeah.
It's a fair salary. It's a fair daily rate. I think that when the market can shift to client-led as opposed to candidate-led, we do get a little bit of the undercut. We're definitely seeing it now in our own hiring processes, wherein late stage, there are low-ball offers. There are, oh, actually, could we knock a couple of $100 off the rate? We're starting to see that creep in. It's understandable in this market. It's also difficult when, yes, candidates are then flexible. But again, this is the same conversation as flexibility in the office. They may accept it for now. But if you're hiring permanent, if you're hiring long-term contract, you are opening yourself up to a bit of a dangerous conversation in 3 months' time, 6 months' time. Whenever this market picks up, which it will, just be aware, cutting corners now will cost you far much more financially as a business, but even just in terms of pain long term. So I think that ultimately when we look at remuneration, it's not they're looking for pay increases. They're just looking to be paid fairly.
Fairly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, it's definitely that's good for retention if they get a fair wicket. If you're offering, you know, fixed term or undercutting or lowballing, it just poses a flight risk.
And it could be the difference of like 2K or 5K sometimes. Like we've seen this get down to a really nitty gritty number. And it's kind of just like you're so teetering on the edge of someone begrudgingly accepting as opposed to happily. That margin of error is so slim. So if you are thinking about that, I mean, we can take that offline. That's a whole other one.
And the reality is we are in a client-led market at the minute because we have gone through this downturn, but there are more projects coming to the market. And
We will see contract numbers increase.
And very soon we'll be in a candidate-driven market and they will be getting other opportunities. And so, they're not paid fairly. They do pose a flight risk. All right. Lastly, we're going to look at years of experience, and then retirement. We've added retirement and that question in this year because for the last 7 years, we've always reported on the years of experience. And we know we have a highly experienced talent pool. Over 60% of the market have got more than 15 years of experience. So we added in that question around retirement. And this is quite alarming. So we've got a small talent pool as it is, and 13% of SAP resources in Australia plan to retire in the next 5 years. So, that is a very alarming stat. So if you're one of SAP's partners and you haven't got a grad program in place, or if you're an end customer and you're not looking to bring business resources over, this is a really worrying stat for the SAP market.
I think that ultimately, I mean, we talk about what we need to see more of in this talent pool of SAP. And I think, diversity gets thrown around a lot as a word. But diversity of thought doesn't just mean men and women. It doesn't just mean different cultures and ethnicities and nationalities. I think it very much also means age. Ultimately, SAP, I will say it, it is an older market. Like most of IT in Australia, it is now aging. Kids are staying in uni far longer than their parents want them to. They're definitely not signing up for SAP courses at uni. In fact, very few are offering them. TAFE has only just started to offer a finance course, and that's after like 15 years of lobbying with the Department of Education to get that up and away. We are certainly faced with
a challenging juncture in our market as to what do we do
in the next 10 years, because 60% of the market, more, have 15 plus years experience. Under 5% have 5 years experience.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a hiring manager and you don't want to pay 200K base for a run-of-the-mill FICO BAU resource, what are you going to do? And what are your options? Do you train up? Do you uplift, which is what we've been seeing a little bit more of? It is now time for the market to really think ingenuinely about what are we going to do about this gap? Because I think one thing to say, yes, the market's retiring and we'll lose a lot of people in terms of our workforce, but we're also going to lose a huge portion of knowledge.
Knowledge, yeah.
Like these people that have been, that will be retiring in the next 5 years are our current market leaders. They're the people that you go to for your strategy, for your solution architecture, your program management, like big pillar roles.
Yeah, I think there's an opportunity to tap into that retirement market, even if, you know, engage them on a day a week, partner with a junior resource or partner with someone from the business, and the aim of just to pass on that knowledge. I think there's a big opportunity to tap into that market.
Like certainly I would say if you're a hiring manager about to embark on an S/4HANA journey or something like that, or if you're just about to embark on any project really, look for that diversity in your team. If there is someone that you can partner up with your program manager internally within your company to learn from that contractor, to learn from that wealth of knowledge, it's a no-brainer at this point. You will be setting up your business for success for the next 15 years, given the age of this market. So it's definitely something to be aware of.
So Sarah, quick question before we wrap this up. If you had to summarize the 2025 talent survey in a couple of sentences,
what would I say?
What would you say, yeah?
It is ultimately looking positive. I think that the 50-50 split speaks to a market that has stabilized. It's not necessarily cooking with gas or oil right now, but we are slowly simmering. We start to, I think, heat up 2026 when that shift to contract shows an increase in projects. And ultimately, more opportunity for everyone in some interesting roles that will come through.
Perfect. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
And, thank you.
Hopefully see you at some of our events coming up again. If you want to hear about anything, I mean, there should be an email somewhere. I don't know. My marketing manager will put it floating around somewhere. Give us a call. Reach out to us. We can tell you more one-on-one.